How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sport Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Sunday here on the program, we have no guest today. We have a lot of news as always. Of course, the Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view took place on Friday. UFC on Fox last night with some very interesting results. A lot of upsets on the show last night. Raw, of course, is tomorrow, the first live Raw show since Roman Reigns won the WWE World Heavyweight title. Had his first house show last night in Los Angeles. We could talk about the reaction of Roman Reigns on that show. And joining him on that show last night was Brock Lesnar, who had a shot at Alberto Del Rio's U.S. title. We can talk about that on the show today. A lot of news from the weekend. It is, of course, the final major weekend of the year. And in 2016, there's a lot of stuff coming up, including the New Japan Tokyo Dome show January 4th. We can talk about that. The SmackDown move to the USA Network. TNA, of course, is moving to Pop TV on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, SmackDown is live, and TNA will be going head-to-head on Pop TV. We also will have plenty of time today to take your phone calls, your text messages. The studio line today, 425-488-0525. Toll free. Give us a call at 844-411-5411. And if you'd like to send us a text message, the number today, 425-780-7566. We're going to have plenty of time today for phone calls, emails, text messages, the whole nine yards. And we are going to kick it off with Mike Sempervivi after the break. Whatever's on your mind today, give us a call about. We'll talk about it here on the program. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Every Sunday, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. As noted, we take a lot of phone calls and emails on the show today. Studio line 425-488-0525 if you want to give us a call. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. Got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, Mike. And what did you have a chance to watch this weekend?
I'm very upset with myself. I did not get a chance to see Ring of Honor Final Battle, which I'm going to actually do tonight so I can give everybody my full wrap-up on coming up on Monday's show at 3 o'clock Eastern time. But I did get a chance to see the UFC show, which, while not incredibly exciting or anything like that, at least kind of clears the picture up a little bit, at least as far as I'm concerned, as far as last weekend's biggest story, which is Conor McGregor and who he will face going forward. I was one of those people, you can throw out a lot of different scenarios, Jose Aldo getting a rematch, Frankie Edgar getting the title shot that he certainly deserves. Last week it was about Cowboy Cerrone, and that's the one I thought. While I think Edgar would be the fight to go with, I really thought that because of Conor's size and because of the hype I've always had for Cowboy Cerrone and the love I've had for Cerrone, I thought that was probably the most interesting fight that could have been out there. Rafael Dos Anjos changed that last night by destroying Cerrone. But it clears the picture. You get Frankie Edgar and you get Conor McGregor in the octagon with each other, and that's probably the direction you should go.
Maybe the direction you should go, but I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go. They talked to Conor's camp, and his camp essentially said they wanted to go up and fight for the lightweight title next, which would mean Rafael Dos Anjos. That is what they want. I don't know if that's what they're going to get. And to top all of that off, last night on the show, Conor McGregor, I don't know if you guys have figured this out or not, but he's a big draw. He's made a lot of money for the company. And he was called out by, if I remember correctly, three different individuals last night. He's called out on the undercard, he was called out by Nate Diaz, and he was called out by Rafael Dos Anjos. All of them called him out. It's very obvious why. If you get a fight with Conor McGregor, you're going to go home with millions and millions of dollars. Everybody wants to fight this guy. And I don't know this for sure, but I have a theory. If you guys recall correctly, I was on with Filthy Tom Lawlor a couple of weeks ago before the Conor fight. And we were talking about Conor. And I said, you know what? Conor has never faced a guy at the very, very tippy top. He never has. I said, I don't know if this guy's the real deal. And Tom said, he's the real deal, and he's I'm picking him. That's what Tom said. He picked Conor McGregor, and he was right. And I said, listen to me. If the fight takes place and Conor McGregor beats Jose Aldo Jr., I will stand here on this show, and I will admit that you were right, that you're the man. And what did I do, Mike? I went on the show on Monday, and I said, Filthy Tom, you were right. You're the man. This guy is the real deal. However, even though he beat this guy in 13 seconds, who had been unbeaten for a decade, there were still people who said, you know what? Could have been a fluke. Maybe Aldo just rushed in and wasn't paying attention. And if they had another fight, maybe Aldo would win. Conor is only a narrow favorite if these guys have a rematch. So there's a lot of people that still don't think that this guy is the real deal. And the point I'm making here is, I think that all of these guys want to fight Conor McGregor because A, they think they can make millions of dollars, which they can, and B, they think he's beatable. That's why they want to fight this guy. So Nate Diaz did claim last night, he claimed that after he called this guy out, he said that the UFC told him, it's on. You're going to get this fight with Conor McGregor. He said a lot of things last night, so I don't know if I believe this.
But most of them you couldn't hear because they had to be edited off live TV.
Yes, but that is what he claimed. He claimed that he is next in line for Conor McGregor. I'll believe it when it is officially announced, but that's what he said.
That's so incredibly stupid to me from the UFC's point of view. Not to say that it wouldn't be great, not to say that the lead up to it wouldn't be fantastic. But, I mean, you're putting Conor at great risk against Diaz, and his ability to punch as good as he is on the ground, as well-rounded as he is when he is, you know, completely on focus. That's crazy when you have a fight ready-made in your division with Frankie Edgar in a, you know, a legitimate number one contender who deserves his opportunity. And, you know, it's not like Conor has cleaned up everybody in that division. Yeah, I mean, he did what he had to do. He beat Mendez on short notice, and he destroyed Aldo with that punch. But it's not like there's not still challenges there for him. And on top of it, if he is going to go up, why would you, and Diaz, I guess, could go down. You could have it as a catch weight or whatever. But if he's going to have a fight outside of his division where it would be a marquee, you know, fight that could do really, really well and that both diehards and regulars could get into, you do it against a guy in another weight class so he has the opportunity to be the first one to hold two titles in two different weight classes. And frankly, I don't, you know, fault his side for wanting that too. I mean, he's already got a lot of leverage to begin with. Imagine if he owned two belts in two divisions, the opportunities that would open up, just all of the, you know, rampant speculation that would take place daily out there. You think people are calling him out now. Imagine if he had two belts, what that could actually mean for all of the banter that could take place. So I don't blame his side for doing it. And I think if they are going to make a move that's not Edgar, why would you have it be Diaz? I mean, outside of just the sheer joy we'll all get in the lead up of these two talking to each other.
That's literally the only reason that I could think that they would do that is because they figured that the promos these guys would cut on each other would be worth it. I think, if you ask me, I think the next fight is going to be Conor versus Rafael Dos Anjos. I do think they're going to do that fight. If Conor loses, I mean, it's all out the window. And he's obviously money, and he wanted the opportunity to co-promote. And I think they gave it to him. And I say that because Lorenzo Fertitta said this is going to be the first guy to make $100 million. And trust me, nobody in UFC is making $100 million unless they got a co-promoting deal for their fights with UFC. He's obviously got a lot of clout. And as you noted, that's a good big money match. Conor McGregor going to be the first guy in history to hold two simultaneous UFC titles at the same time. Guys have held them before, like BJ Penn in different weight classes, but not at the same time. I think that that's the fight that you do. And I don't know what else. It's not like Anthony Pettis is being passed up for an opportunity by somebody else. I mean, Anthony Pettis is still there after this next fight. He has to wait a little bit longer. But, I mean, he could beat Connor. And so, if you have the opportunity to do a deal where Connor may win belts in both divisions, you got to do it. You can't risk Anthony, or you can't risk anybody first. Frankie Edgar, you can't risk him first if you think there's any possibility that you can make money off this match.
And if you think about it, even if Connor gets his rear end kicked by Dos Anjos, which is very much a possibility, I mean, what could you really say right now? Because look what Dos Anjos has been able to do. And granted, it hasn't been on the same higher scale, but he's done what he's needed to do. And against Diaz, against Benson Henderson, against Pettis already, you know, it's, you know, Khabib, you know, he still needs the rematch with him. And that's going to, you know, happen at some point. But look at this run he's been on. So if Connery loses too, even, I mean, as long as he's not completely embarrassed, it's not like that's going to hurt him at all either if he goes up and loses that battle, at least anytime soon.
Ahead to a break in just a moment. We can talk more about this. The main event last night, Rafael Dos Anjos beat Donald Cerrone in 1 minute and 8 seconds. He destroyed this guy. And Donald Cerrone had no explanation afterwards. He just said, had a bad day. Everything went wrong. He said everything went wrong. He couldn't even find his gear in the afternoon. And he didn't show up, he said. And he is very, very sad about the whole thing, as, I mean, he probably should be. This is the second time now that Dos Anjos has beaten him. It was his chance at the title. He'd flat out publicly made comments about Dos Anjos and PEDs, and then he goes in there and just gets slaughtered. We'll talk more about this after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phone lines are open. The text message line is open. All of these numbers available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And let us see what is on everybody's mind. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Friday night, they crowned a new NWA Women's Champion. Amber Gallows defeated Santana Garrett.
Didn't she just lose another match like last week?
Yeah, she
had like 9 belts, right?
I'm wondering.
It's a losing streak she's about to go on.
Has she got some kind of deal with NXT?
Did she what?
Has she got some kind of deal to go to NXT? Is why she's dropping so many belts or something or other?
I have not heard that. I mean, it may just be that 9 belts are tied up or whatever, and they want to get some on some other people.
Exactly. Oh, and another thing, I guess Ed's probably already told, but the Lucha Sisters are no more.
What?
Yes.
You're scooping Ed. He's gonna be so mad when he finds out that you called in and scooped
him.
Yes,
they're so. What happened was they lost the tag team tournament title match to Better Than You, Marty Bell and Jamie Jamerson, due to your friend and ours, Malia Hosaka, and her friend Brandywine. You know, legendary. They were interfering with chairs and this. Put it this way, Mia blamed Leva for everything, and she gave her a package pile driver and cut a bad promo on us, and the Lucha Sisters are no more.
Man. Mm-hmm. So Leva Bates is the babyface?
I would say so. I think they're going to have a big feud right now because they say that Mia Yim really let loose on her.
Man.
He was the one that carried the team, and basically that Leva was nothing but dead weight.
Man, oh man. Well, I want to thank you very much for the update. I'm sure Ed is listening right now. Maybe he's going to call in and refute that. I believe the last time Jim had some sort of women's wrestling news, Ed had some sort of refutation of it, if that's the right word. But anyway, back to this UFC thing right here. As mentioned, Donald Cerrone destroyed... just utterly destroyed by Rafael Dos Anjos in the main event of the show. Semi-main event, Junior Dos Santos was destroyed by Alistair Overeem. Overeem knocked him out in 4:43 of the second round. Junior Dos Santos just never the same after Cain Velasquez damn near killed him. So Alistair Overeem, I don't even know what to make of this heavyweight division right now. It's not like Overeem looked very good.
No, and that's the thing, too, and it's not like... it's not like Dos Santos. I mean, he got hit moving backwards with a punch right on the chin from a very strong guy who's always been a very good striker, and Alistair Overeem. And he was put on his back, and But anybody would have been knocked out with that punch. I think the demise of Dos Santos, while, you know, noticeable, and that's just the way it is now, in that division, it's not like he does not have a career. And whether you think he's taken too much punishment or not, I mean, realistically, there was nothing that happened last night outside of being caught with a punch that really changes anything in that division. I mean, the only big change is Overeem is a free agent. And, you know, if this was in the real world of, you know, like the NFL or something like that, that performance last night would have done him absolutely no favors. But the reality is, while he's out there on the free, you know, the free agent market, I mean, how many suitors does he have? He could go to Japan. He could work for Ryzen. I mean, that's all out there. But it's, and Bellator could throw him money too. But it's not like I think he can pry a whole bunch of money from the UFC's hands. I don't think they necessarily care. I think they would be more upset over, you know, Aljamain Sterling going, frankly, than Overeem, because he's always one step away from a PED violation. I don't care what, you know, anybody could say about that. You know that's true. He's not very impressive in there anymore. And yes, he can land a big knockout, but if you're a heavyweight, no matter who you are, you can land a big knockout. So I don't think that there's any big deal over him going or anything like that, and I don't think, frankly, it changes Dos Santos standing all that much in a division that's not really loaded up with anything anyway.
Well, I mean, I know that people said that his chin was gone, and as you noted, I mean, he was nearly killed with that shot, and actually, he didn't even really, I don't think, get knocked out. There never seemed to be that moment where he was out. The referee, I mean, you could almost argue that it was an early stoppage, but let's be realistic. Before that, they didn't do anything. They both didn't do a thing. That fight sucked. So whether it was a knockout blow or not, I don't want to say I'd never want to see either guy again, but it's not like I'm salivating to see them have another fight. That was a semi-main. And Nate Diaz beat Michael Johnson via stand-up. He just overwhelmed him for three rounds, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. The first round actually was close. Could have gone either way. I think that's what everyone, when they gave those scores, they all gave the first round to Michael Johnson, but Diaz destroyed him and then either didn't know or didn't care that they were on Fox TV and cut a very, what's the best word to use? Profane doesn't even do it justice, because I actually saw the unedited version.
It was obnoxiously vulgar, and wait, before you
bordering
say
on
anything,
illegal,
yes,
you use so much profanity.
Before you say anything more about that, you must note at the end of the fight, he clowned for the camera and put a knee bar on after the bell, which led to Johnson kicking him. And I mean, that could have turned into a situation as well, considering that he and his team's past history when it comes to, you know, nationally televised fights.
Yeah, I mean, he grabbed him for a knee bar, but it's not like he really cranked on the guy's leg.
But I
yes,
know, but
once the bell rings, you cannot be an idiot like that. And he deserved to be kicked.
And he could have been, look, and somebody, you know, that could be a thing where the commission, they were in a salty mood, and I don't think it's something that he couldn't beat, but I mean, they could make his life a little bit miserable. And, you know, UFC, it's not like the Diaz brothers don't give you excuses if you're the UFC to not put them in good positions. But, you know, he's talking about this fight with Conor, and if you think about it, as Diaz as it was to do that, unless you know who the Diaz brothers are, you probably weren't entertained by that, and you'd just go, well, you know, screw this guy.
Yeah, they had, God, I had a tirade about Roman Reigns on the Brian Avini show last week, and I didn't swear as much as Nate Diaz did last night, but yeah, he wants Conor. I don't know if he's going to get him. He claimed it, but
he was a 1989, like, Two Live Crew album, although it's not as sexy. I guess somebody from the West Coast there, the Diaz boys. I mean, that's exactly what it was.
And then Carolina Kowakiewicz, I believe is her name, beat Aranda Marcos.
Yay,
Poland. Decision. Look good. You and these Polish girls, Mike.
Me and Tom Lawler, I know.
You and Tom? Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. I just want to give a report.
Been so long.
Women's show I went to last weekend. It was called Girl Fight Wrestling. They had an intercommission match.
Use commas and occasional periods. Calm down.
I'm not going to hang up on you yet. Go ahead.
Okay, it was a match between NXT and PWG as Crazy Mary from NXT defeated Candice LeRae from PWG.
Crazy Mary is in NXT?
She wrestled Bayley just about a month or two ago.
She may just have been brought in to be an enhancement talent. Find out, Mike. Find out who Crazy Mary is.
You got it.
What else, Ryan?
Also, Taylor Hendricks debuted the Kiss of Death finishing move where she kisses the opponent on the lips and kicks her in the face, and she did that to a squirrel named Solo Darling.
I know Solo Darling. She was in Ohio Valley and TNA.
Was she a squirrel in TNA?
Was she a squirrel?
Taylor Hendricks was putting nuts outside the ring trying to get her to count it out, and she was biting her tail, and she was selling her tail like it was getting hurt.
What?
She was, like, biting it. Like, Taylor Hendricks was taking,
wait,
like,
whoa. Ryan, first off, we weren't at the show, so are you telling me that Sojo Bolt was dressed as a squirrel?
Solo Darling was a squirrel, and Taylor Hendricks
Solo
was, like,
Darling.
Doing the Mike Tyson.
It's not
gimmick.
Am I, like, out of my mind?
Her.
Ryan, I'm sorry. I got to let you go. What?
I
okay. Now I got to look it up.
Crazy right. Mary Dobson has, I don't know if it's been recently, but she has at least wrestled in NXT.
He threw me so off my game that I just don't even know what's going on. Okay.
I just like the fact that I thought he said Solo Darling, but then you bring up Sojourner Bolt in a squirrel costume, which just makes it even more.
Okay. Okay, so Solo Darling and Sojo Bolt are different. And Solo Darling is, in fact, wearing a costume in this photograph, but I don't think it's a squirrel.
What is Taylor Hendricks doing?
I haven't got that far yet. And then, yes, Sojo Bolt was, in fact, in TNA. Do we have any callers that don't just go to women's wrestling shows? I know that that's like a running joke, but that's the first two callers. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Well, can I transition to, or try to out of that?
Sure. Caller, stand okay. by. We'll get you after the break.
Speaking of women, speaking of TNA, speaking of Marty Bell, whose name you mentioned earlier, she was in TNA, and TNA, I believe, is trying to look at new women, too, for their debut on Pop TV. And to throw this back around to Ring of Honor, I would think that one of those women seems to be, after the tapings that ROH had, possibly Maria being joined by Mike Bennett. That would actually make some sense now,
wouldn't it? It does appear that they're both going to TNA. And I want everyone to think about this, by the way. Think about this, because this is, there's a lot to process here. They gave up Ring of Honor and New Japan so that they could go to TNA, which had not been offering any money really to anybody. I think they had like two or maybe three guys under contract. So their deal with Pop TV, they're not even making any money from Pop TV. It's like a barter deal. Where is this money coming from to pay for Maria and Mike Bennett? Because obviously they had to have gotten money to give up Ring of Honor and New Japan.
I have an idea.
Okay, we'll talk about it after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. All right. Now, before we get back to Mike talking about his theory for Maria, Mike Bennett, and TNA, got a lot of tweets here. You can only imagine. So Ryan from Cumberland says, that was the first women's show I've ever gone to, which I don't know if I believe that, but that's what he says. He says, if Solo isn't a squirrel, what is she? And he has a link to her Twitter page, at Solo Darling. And this appears to be some sort of cosplay, as the kids call it. And, okay, she does appear to have a squirrel tail. But we got a lot of squirrels around here in Seattle. And my wife loves squirrels, so I've seen many squirrels. The ears seem too big on this costume. So maybe she's a squirrel. Or maybe, I don't know. But that answers that question. And then we also had people talking about, John here says, Ryan is nuts. Get it? let's see, what else do we have here? Somebody had an explanation for what's going on.
Not on this show, I'm sure.
Crazy Mary was the Miz makeup artist for a short time. And I think it was Ed that actually said, she is not, and Ed would know of all people, she is not signed with NXT. She's the girl that's dating Madman Pondo, which I remember this now. Anyway, that's your women's wrestling wrap-up for today. Your theory on TNA and Mike Bennett, Mike Bennett and Maria.
Hard to Maria follow Bennett. That up. That's it. It's Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett. Hey, I'm not sure what they're going to be getting paid. I don't know. But realistically, I'm not sure what their aspirations are. But in a way, they've kind of maxed out what they can do in ROH. Can you see Mike Bennett as the ROH champion? I mean, obviously you could. I mean, you could always come up with scenarios when, you know, where the kingdom has taken over truly everything and he's the ROH World Heavyweight Champion. World Champion. Sorry, Mr. Lethal.
Try not heavyweight.
But realistically, does anyone really truly want to see that? Would you be that inspired by that? Could you do so many great things with that as you could with somebody else? Like a Jay Lethal as your champion. I think you got more options that way. I don't think it makes sense as far as them as a company. So at that point, if WWE does not want you, what do you do to increase your status? And I know TNA, when it comes to them being on Pop TV, it's not an increase in their status. It's ridiculous to think that it is. But they are owned by CBS. Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett could do very well on a Survivor-type show. I mean, for God's sakes, Jesse Goddard's was on one, who's also in TNA. And them being, you know, so, hey, look, put them together and make them the most obnoxious, over-the-top, flexy, face-making, you know, fools on the planet and have Marie in the middle of them on Pop TV, I guarantee you it would be pretty entertaining. But no matter what it is that you could do with Marie and Mike Bennett, it's about the only thing that they can do wrestling-wise now that is something different for them and can kind of get them maybe into doing something else where I think both of them would actually be very good. I don't know reality shows well at all. I don't watch them. But they would seem to be a good fit on that sort of stuff. And them kind of, you know, expanding out of wrestling where, I mean, again, if WWE doesn't sign you, what else are you going to do? So I think this might be the best case scenario for them.
I cannot believe, as a hardcore New Japan fan, what I just heard out of you, Mike.
Hey, do you think they're going to be New Japan regulars? Can you see them moving to Japan and becoming big in Japan?
Dude, here's what I'm saying about this. Dave mentioned the other day, he's going through all of the ballots for the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. And every year, TNA won all sorts of worst awards. Worst announcers, worst angle, worst everything. This year, they're not winning or losing anything because nobody's voting for them for anything. Like, they're barely represented in the awards this year. They are so off the radar on Destination America. And, man, I'm just telling you. I know that, like, the TNA Mecca... Is that what they're called, TNA Mecca?
I think so.
I know they're all excited about Pop TV, and Pop TV is available in more homes and everything like that, but, dude, this is so off the radar.
Look, again, I'm not talking about this from anything about the wrestling thing. I'm looking at this because when I heard it, the only thing that makes sense to me is the ability to, on a station that's got a lot to do with soap operas, it's partially owned by
you
CBS.
You may be right.
That's actually
but it's
how...
Pop.
I know, but for that, for them, I can see that making sense. Now, for anybody else, like, I mean, to spend the money on a Goldberg and think that's going to really make a difference, you know, which I guess Goldberg has said he's been approached. Who knows whether he's there? It doesn't matter. And I don't think this thing is going to be anything other than what TNA has been, except on an even smaller scale. And to find out that it's more of a barter deal. Hey, I wish him all the best. I hope it works out for him. But again, I think if anybody goes there, I would question, is it about the money, which it probably is not? Is it about the creativity? I guess possibly, maybe. But unless it's, to me, it's got to do with just being seen with by CBS or hoping that that's what it's going to be.
It's got to be about the money.
That. Yeah. Well,
it's got to be.
Money, though?
It's got to be.
For who? Bennett and Maria?
Yeah. It has to be.
How much? Well, yeah, and like, look, but are they going to be the big stars? How much? I mean,
how much
do they really have to spend?
I thought they had no money to spend, but apparently they do. I don't know where it came from, but listen. Oh, God.
I just can't believe that's the only reason I could see them being there.
All the best to them. I mean, listen, you may be right, and maybe there's some reality show on Pop TV that they're maybe going to be on, but it's Pop TV. Can you name one show on Pop TV aside from TNA?
I know what you're saying, but ROH is on Comet now.
Dude, they're on Comet and Sinclair affiliates.
Yeah, but
Ring of Honor airs all over the place at my house because I have Comet and I have Sinclair. So I can watch them on Saturday and on Wednesday.
I know, but okay, if you're an ROH fan, if Bennett and Maria, I know that, you know, they have a certain cachet, but if they disappeared, is that going to stop anybody from watching Ring of Honor? Is them being there moving anything for Ring of Honor? Are they move? I mean, in Japan, at least, you know, it's been something new and fresh, you know, in a way over there at Maria's presence, because, you know, women were just not a part of New Japan, especially doing what she was doing over there, including, you know, interfering in matches, let alone some of the shots of her her features that the cameramen use over there. So, I mean, she's had more of an impact over there than she really has for Ring of Honor. I mean, they don't market her out there, and I don't know. Again, I don't know at this point how. Again, Ring of Honor is looking to not spend as much money too. Are they really going to miss Maria and Mike Bennett? And is Maria and Mike Bennett being there the best thing for them anyway? I don't think so.
Okay, I will finish it off with my statement here. I think it is because this is pro wrestling, and you've got to be on the radar. And even when TNA was on Spike, I'm not even talking Destination America or Pop TV, when they were on Spike, Mick Foley, when they were on Spike TV, had people coming up to him and saying, man, I wish you were wrestling. I wish you were still on TV. And he's like, I am, every Thursday night. This is, I mean, God bless them, and maybe you're right, and they'll end up on Survivor if it even still exists, or whatever the hot reality show is, and they'll make it big and everything like that. But to me, they were talked about a lot when they were in Ring of Honor. They were talked about a lot when they were in New Japan, and I'm telling you, when they go to Pop TV, I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to be talked about at all.
And you know what?
At all.
That's all the plan.
Off the radar.
We know how WWE and NXT think about Ring of Honor right now. So maybe
by going
to TNA and going to Pop TV, that they will kill their profile so much and get the stench of ROH off of them that maybe NXT comes calling. And then we get a surprise of Mike Bennett and Maria showing up in NXT. Maybe this is all a big plot to do
that. I'm pretty sure when they made this deal, that was not on their mind in terms of ideas. We'll see what happens, everybody. I don't know. I can't imagine Pop TV being bigger than Destination America. And Destination America absolutely killed TNA dead in terms of, I mean, no one ever calls his show about TNA. We got people calling about women's wrestling every day. Nobody ever calls about TNA. Never. They call about Ring of Honor, New Japan, WWE. We have Evolve guests here on the show. They talk about PWG. Nobody ever talks about TNA. It's off the radar.
And I wonder if it's really,
I promise we were done with this.
The best thing in the world that they're going, you know, running the best of shows. I guess it could be, but boy, it's not like they're going to have an inspiring crowd. Probably when they debut they were supposed to on January 5th, but to run the best of shows, I guess it's fine, and I guess it really doesn't matter, but. I don't know how they're. Who knows? Again, like I said,
all right,
we'll see what happens. That's enough there.
I imagine we're boring people with this TNA talk since nobody recalls about it. So on the phone, studio line, you're on the air.
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Oh, fantastic! I'm glad
the day.
Jesus,
I called in to totally explain the solo darling gimmick so everyone could understand.
Actually, this may be more interesting than the conversation we just had.
It very much is. It's not so much she's a cosplayer or cosplayer, she's a furry. She is always an animal.
Oh, she's a squirrel, a cat, a tiger, a reindeer.
And she's also addicted to sugar, so she comes to the ring with a Slurpee or Pixie Sticks, and the wrestlers get the heat on her by beating up the tail, and then she gets the Slurpee, and she drinks the Slurpee or Pixie Sticks, and then she hulks up, and she attacks him with a combination comeback of Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Kobayashi.
Man, this is the best Ed call ever.
Abdullah Kobayashi, or do you mean Kenta Kobashi?
Kenta Kobayashi.
Holy.
The great one, the one that retired.
Kobashi.
Yeah, and also Crazy Mary, no, she's not signed. Yes, she was a Mrs. Hairdresser. She was also Kane's boss when he had to sell hot dogs.
Ed telling me about this furry. I've never been closer to wanting to give you a show after that, Ed. That is fascinating knowledge. Does the audience know what a furry is when they go to these shows, Ed? Are they aware of what this gimmick is?
Oh, I'm sure if they're going to those shows,
they know. She sells ears, the furry ears, which I own a pair of furry ears, and she sells tails and tails.
Were they previously worn?
Goes along with his fleshlight.
All right. Oh, Mike.
What?
Over the air radio, please.
Because I'm going to sink it, right?
Hey, Ed was on a roll there. I didn't know she was a furry. That's news to me.
Did you ever see the news report of the, I think it was in Washington, D.C., where there was like a bomb threat or there was radon, whatever it was, and they had a furry convention taking place at this hotel. And they have the news that's doing a live report where it's all of these people standing outside dressed as furry animals. If you get a chance, look that one up on YouTube. Very entertaining because they talk to them and it's just, I could imagine somebody who has got no clue of subcultures watching this and actually trying to wrap their brains around it. The same way I'm sure that there are listeners driving down the road right now trying to wrap their brains around what they've heard in the first hour of this show.
Oh, man. You know what? If I would have just read her Twitter profile here where it says hashtag team furrious, I would have figured it out. Dang it.
I want her on the show now. I will say that.
I'll try and work on it. I'm sure Ed could get it. I mean, he's already got her ears. To the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, it's John from Arkansas. I actually understood. I'd heard about what Ed was talking about, too,
what?
A while back.
You're aware of this, John?
I had heard that was what her gimmick was and that she was into that kind of thing, and that was her deal. But my thing was the Mike, Bennett, and Maria thing. Oh, my gosh. No. Why? Why go somewhere
Maybe
off
it'll
the radar?
Be great.
I don't have a whole lot of...
They will be great. They'll be great, whatever it is they're doing. It's just that nobody's going to see it. And again, why
see
they're
it.
Doing
yeah,
it...
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah. Is that nobody will see it. And that I just wish WWE would tuck their ego and hire Maria back, and let's get over that, and let's bring Mike and Maria on there and do something with them in NXT, because it's going to be great if you put them there.
Well, listen, let me tell you something, John, as we get ready to head to the break here. Actually, I'll tell you after the break. I got something I want to say about WWE and Maria and TNA and everything else. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, a radio network. Man, what an hour. And we got another one coming, everybody, in hour two. I wanted to mention very quickly here that I don't know what's going on or what did go on or what didn't go on with WWE and Maria, but I'd had the impression that they were interested, at least interested in her. And I know that Mike Bennett did a tryout a while ago, and I heard that he did a really, really good job, and everybody liked him, but for whatever reason, they didn't hire him. And I don't know what that means, why they didn't hire him, if everybody liked him, but they didn't. You know, I don't know if it was the guy at the very end of the chain was the one guy that didn't like him. Maybe he was liked by everybody except the important people. I don't know. All I know is he had a tryout, people said he looked really good, and they didn't hire him. So maybe it was a deal where they were willing to bring Maria back. And this is all speculation, by the way. Let's not report this elsewhere. And maybe it was a deal where they were interested in Maria, but they weren't going to take Mike Bennett. And they're married. And they decided, well, if TNA is going to offer us both a deal and we can go there together, then let's take that. And maybe that's the end of the deal. Maybe that's why the whole thing went down the way it did. I don't know. Like I said, I wish them the best. I just, after 13 years, don't have any faith in TNA right now. And I think that it's a big, big, big drop off the radar. That's it. We're back in a moment with Hour 2, everybody. A lot of stuff to talk about. Phone calls, emails, and more. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, list goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Hour 1 is in the books. Thank God it's over. We are here for Hour 2, and we've got so much stuff to get into. I got news. We're going to take phone calls and emails. I've got text messages here. If you'd like to call the show today, the phone numbers are these. If you see a different number on your satellite radio, don't call that one. Call these. Studio line, 425-488-0525. The toll-free line we pay for the call, 844-411-5411. And if you'd like to send us a text message, it is 425-780-7566. Our website is WrestlingObserver.com. Every one of those numbers is up there at WrestlingObserver.com for you to check out. I did have a text message here that I wanted to read that regarded Nate Diaz and his insanity last night. Do you think Diaz will be fined, or should he be fined, for continuing to grab Johnson after the fight while they were on the ground? That's from Matt in St. Louis. I mean, you shouldn't go after a guy after the fight, but there is a difference between that and what Rusamar Palhares did to Jake Shields. And it was ironic that Jake Shields was there, but he was in Diaz's corner this time. Palhares was trying to break the dude's arm. Diaz was clowning around and spinning into a move, and he applied no pressure whatsoever. In fact, when they had their post-fight, Michael Johnson kicking him was doing far more damage than Nate Diaz playing around on the ground. Nate Diaz should not have done that. Do I think that he should be fined? I mean, maybe if you want to fine him something to not be an idiot, but God, he'd be broke by now.
Showmanship issue, and that's really what it is.
He wasn't trying to hurt anybody is what I'm trying to say. Should he have done it? Of course not.
I think if you're going to give him trouble for anything, it's more the vulgarity on Fox than you would anything else.
Back in a moment with more of Observer Live, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network. And we are back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be taking your phone calls here in a moment. Want to send out one quick plug right here. It is that time of year again, the annual Whale Scout fundraiser. It's my wife's nonprofit, a registered 501c3. So if you want to donate, it is, in fact, tax deductible. And I know a lot of you listening to this right now are also fans of After Dark Radio, where we talk about all sorts of paranormal activities. There is a new show tonight, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, on the Dark Matter Digital Network, which is available on TuneIn Radio. If you go to whalescout.org right now, you'll see this final day notice right here. It's the final day of their Indiegogo. You can also find the Indiegogo page if you go to afterdarkradioshow.com. There's a link to it. And I bring it up for those of you who are fans of After Dark Radio because I have added 4 perks if you donate. And again, tax deductible. I have 3 Bigfoot flasks. It's a metal flask with an illustration of Bigfoot on the front of it. If you're a fan of Bigfoot, and who is not, you can grab one of these with a donation if you choose that perk, if there are any left, at whalescout.org. And also, I am offering 1 real, because of course we know that Bigfoot is real, I have got a real plaster cast, life size. You should go up there for no other reason than to see the plaster cast next to my head. The foot is either really big or my head is really small. This also is a perk. If you head up to whalescout.org, she appreciates any donations. There's all sorts of great perks up there. You don't even have to get a perk. You can just donate if you want to. But they're 91% of the way to the goal. It helps all sorts of different things. You can read all about it at whalescout.org. But if you want the Bigfoot cast or you want the flasks, head up there to whalescout.org. Choose those as your perks, and away you go. Thanks, everybody who has donated. We had 4 people that paid to be a guest host on the Brian and Vinny Show. 2 have done it so far. Both did a great job. We got 2 more coming, and I want to thank everybody for all of their donations. Whalescout.org. To the studio line, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian, this is John from Memphis, Tennessee. This
yes, episode. John, Murderer's Row.
Well, I've been out, man. I've been in the hospital. That's the reason why I haven't been calling, man. I had surgery on my back, man. How
oh,
you
man.
Doing?
That's too bad. You were going to be here for the Christmas show, and it's now too late.
Yeah, I was coming, man. I wanted to literally berate you and Craig for shafting the greatest man in the history of the Empire.
John, he lost because he sucks at the game. For no other reason.
It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. You just haters. You and Craig are haters. You
wow.
hate him because of his height, and Craig hate him because of his good looks and weight.
Wow. I mean, you're not wrong. But anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind? First of all, I want to talk about the Overstein and the Santos fight. I really want to talk about the heavyweight division, the UFC. I got two questions about just in general about the Del Santos and the heavyweight division for you, Brian. And you can.
All right. What's the question?
All right.
Let's start with that.
Number one, the heavyweight division to fight. Is it a reason why the heavyweight division is not as good as it has been in the past? Is because of the emergence of the light heavyweight in the past last 10 years.
Well, John, the answer, I'll just answer the question. If you've got one more, you can ask it. But here's the deal. The reason that any division is on fire is because of who the star of the division is. Right now, the star division in this company, believe it or not, is 145 pounds. Because whenever Conor McGregor fights, it is going to do a million or close to a million buys. That is the marquee division in UFC right now. Second is probably the women's 135-pound division. And if Ronda Rousey comes back and beats Holly Holm, that may end up being the marquee division again. Yeah, there are no real big charismatic heavyweight fighters right now. And so no one cares about the division.
All right, I got a question. So yes. What about if John Jones comes back? Then the 205 would be another marquee division.
It would. If John Jones comes back and obliterates Cormier, then that will end up being a marquee division again. It's all about, if George St. Pierre came back, 170 might be the division again. If Anderson Silva were 10 years younger and he came back and went on a tear, 185 would be the mark. It's all about the stars.
All right. My second question is about the Santos period. I saw the fight with Vasquez about 3 years ago,
It was 3 years ago. He's fought 3 times in 3 years.
All right. In 3 years, when he literally got destroyed De Santos, and De Santos, I didn't look the same way. I agree with you and Dave on that from last night.
Yes.
My thing is this.
Because I'm very intelligent. Go ahead.
All right. Well, my thing is this. If a man had, if UFC is supposed to have safety measures that count for fighters' safety health-wise. How come they still allowing De Santos fight? Even clearly, I'm not saying.
Okay, I know what your question is. I gotta let you go because we got a million callers. But the answer to the question is this: you cannot be the same fighter, but still be able to pass a physical. Dos Santos is not the fighter he used to be, but as Mike noted earlier in the show, it's not like he's totally shot. We don't know. He could be totally shot, but I mean, I shouldn't use myself as an example because I'm as good now as ever, but if I were 50, if I were 10 years older, is it likely that I would have the speed that I had when I was 40? I mean, realistically, do I have the speed now that I had when I was 30? Of course not. But am I capable of still grappling? Yes, of course I am. Just because you're not the fighter you used to be doesn't mean you shouldn't be clear to fight unless you've got so much. I mean, I do not want to mention this name, okay? And I'm not gonna. But there is a guy who is very likely going to fight, what's today? I will just say this. Within the next month, there is a guy who is going to fight in a big MMA show. There is no way this man should be fighting. No way this man should be fighting. But he is going to fight, okay? It's in another country. I do not think he would get cleared here in this country. He is well beyond shot. But in this country, you have to get a physical. They have to feel you are competent and you can safely get in the ring and fight. And they can do that even long after your prime.
And
felt like him when I was explaining that right there.
Very simply, go back and look at the history of Evander Holyfield post Lennox Lewis. A lot of people will remember that and the high water marks and the big pay-per-view buys that it did. But Evander Holyfield would go around and there were places that did not feel as though Evander Holyfield should be fighting. Nevada, if I'm not mistaken, was one of those. I believe New York may have been another one of those. I will go back and double check that. But the bottom line is, he said he could still fight. He was approved to fight by doctors. He could be cleared in places. So who are you to tell Evander Holyfield, because of that, that he should not take any more punches, even though he's slurring, there's this, there's that, there's concern, look at what's happened with other fighters, all that sort of stuff. But the bottom line is, he was cleared. So then how do you deny a man the ability to earn a living? And if Dos Santos can get cleared, if he's there's no reason for him not to fight, it becomes a matter of, is he in a position where people want to see him? Is he competitive with the other guys that you have in your division, you know, and what's his, you know, what's his worth? But is he shot for good? I don't think you can say that yet. I really don't, even though the knockout, look, again, anybody probably would have been knocked out going backwards from a punch on the chin from Alistair Overeem. That's just the way it is. And look, I'm not saying I want to see Dos Santos fight anymore. Hey, I hope he has some money and I hope he could retire, because I don't want to see him take any more, you know, serious injuries. But how the hell do I know? How do any of us know? The doctors say he's good to go. He's good to go.
Take more phone calls after the break, emails, text messages, and more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be taking your phone calls, emails, text messages, 425-488-0525 is the studio line, toll free 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566 if you would like to send us a text. Mike, what are you doing over there? You are so horribly distracted by these women.
On Twitter, Ed sent a, which, and you gotta love this too, a camera phone video from which he did not turn it sideways. So it's the camera phone video of the furry in action, which is actually called Furry in Action with a tilde bang and exclamation point. And in the description, it says furry fun of this match where she does have a tail on. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching this with the sound off, and I'm thinking, damn, gonzo porn really has gone mainstream. But I'm thinking, so I'm missing an entire subculture of things where this stuff is actually like cosplay. I've heard about it. I know Leva Bates. I mean, there's I know this is a popular thing when it comes to women's wrestling, and great for the girls if they can make money off of this, and great for the guys who are getting enjoyment out of it, or women, whoever it is, that love this sort of stuff. But it made me laugh. And then I'm on Twitter and Miss Universe pageant is apparently coming on tonight. And they have a national costume competition where I will retweet the picture of, I assume this is Miss America, the contestant, where she is the best eagle costume I think I have ever seen.
It is amazing. I will give you that.
And I remember there being a picture of last year where Miss Canada was an actual, like, hockey, she had a hockey net, a goalie's net around her, and it was like one of the wackiest things you could ever seen. So I apparently everybody's got a costume now.
Tweet this and I will retweet it. And in the meantime, let's go to the studio line. You are on the air. What's happening?
How you doing, Brian? It's Ian from San Antonio.
Yes, Ian.
Okay, so I have a question. So last week I heard y'all mention, if I heard this right, if I heard this correctly. So TNA has moved, it's moving this Tuesday to Pop TV?
Well, what they're doing is they're going to do a couple of weeks of best ofs, I guess, to introduce people to TNA that may not have watched it, but are happening to see it during their travels through Pop TV. So it's not the actual official debut yet, but yes, they're going to be here on Tuesday.
Okay, so until January 5th, it's still a thing.
Yes.
Okay, so I also wanted to ask about New Japan. So a couple of weeks ago, well, I guess New Japan, WWE, really. 2 weeks ago, maybe 1 week ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, I heard, you know, that there was rumor that WWE was interested in Shinsuke Nakamura. And I don't know that if he came, like, to WWE, like, that he would be booked completely correctly. I think he'd have to be himself to get over, like, to not the level that he is. But I do think that a guy who, like, they wouldn't really change much, but I do think that honestly, that's more of an American style. And anyway, like, I think that they would know how to book him better would be, like, Kazuchika Okada. What do you think of, like, maybe Okada coming instead? I mean, he already said he doesn't want to go.
But well, yeah, that's the whole problem right there. I mean, what they want, obviously, in a foreign superstar is somebody who can speak the language. And that's
with
why
Nakamura,
they... I don't know how well Nakamura speaks English.
Well, I mean, I heard JR said he does it pretty well, but whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, they...
Not WWE well.
Well, no, yeah. no one does, except John Cena. I want to thank you very much for the call, Ian. I've seen so many guys that have come in from, I mean, here's the best example, Mystico. Although Mystico had major issues, I mean, he didn't want to even try to learn English, and it was one problem after another, so he's probably a bad example. But, you know what, I'm going to use Del Rio. Del Rio is a great example. I've mentioned this 1,000 times, I won't bore you, but when he left the company, and he went to Ring of Honor, and he went to Lucha Underground, and he went to Puerto Rico, and he went to Mexico. In every one of those places, he was over like crazy. They bring him back. They can't figure out a damn thing to do with the guy. So, yeah, in a perfect world, it would be awesome as an American wrestling fan to see Shinsuke Nakamura on Raw every Monday night as a main eventer. Do I have any faith in that happening? No. They can't even bring up Samoa Joe, who on the NXT TakeOver special blew the house down with that match with Finn Balor. This guy may never have a match on the WWE roster in his whole life, which is mind-blowing to me.
And even if you did get a chance to see him every Monday night on WWE or Joe on the main roster, are you going to be satisfied with them having stifled creativity and possibly being completely different than why you really loved them in the first place? Will you be satisfied with that, or will you be upset and complaining about the fact? Because
here's the difference. Here's the difference when you say that. I saw Samoa Joe in TNA. And so it would be very difficult, even with their worst booking, to have him be worse than that Samoa Joe that came to the ring with a knife. Remember, what was his name?
Yes.
That goofy gimmick that he had. I mean, listen, I've seen Joe, believe me, at his worst, and it would not be worse on Raw. Nakamura, on the other hand, I've seen Nakamura at his best. And so Raw would almost certainly be a step down. That's why those two things are different.
I guess so. But yeah, and really, this is more of an argument against Nakamura being there, because it's hard, again, and it's a small fan base, you know, New Japan compared to WWE. So maybe he goes over and he gets even bigger, whether people were you know, who are hardcore fans of his and of New Japan's, you know, like it or not, or like him or not, in whatever character he is. But realistically, this is all just, you know, fun to bandy about, but realistically is not going to happen, because New Japan, one, does he want to come over here? Doesn't seem to be. And two, why in the New Japan will throw everything, and they've got the money. They don't have WWE money, but they have more than enough money to throw at guys like Okada, Tanahashi, Nakamura, many others, where if them coming over here and trying to succeed in America like Kenta or somebody is not that big of a deal to them, they have more than enough money where they can stay and use that as a negotiating ploy and stay in Japan.
All right, let's go to the toll-free line. You are on the air. What's up? You are off the air. Thank you very much for the call. We haven't even talked really about the Ring of Honor show that took place on Friday night. In the main event, Jay Lethal beat AJ Styles to retain the Ring of Honor world title. And the reports that we have gotten from backstage are that, thank God, Jay Lethal no longer has to worry. He did not kill AJ Styles, and AJ should still be able to work the Tokyo Dome show. AJ was clearly very limited. I've had a lot of periods in my life where my back was in bad shape. I never had a herniated disc, but I've had back problems many, many times, and I know when a dude's back is killing him. Moreover, I mean, more so than just when he's in there selling his back, because his back was worked over the entire time, but AJ was limited. He could not jump as high. He could not move as fast. But after the show, he had an ice pack on his neck. Otherwise, seemed to be okay. So it looks like he'll be all right for the Tokyo Dome. He had a hell of a match for a guy that was all screwed up. Jay Lethal beat him clean in the middle of the ring, which may have been AJ's first major U.S. pinfall loss since he left TNA, in a very, very good match. Am I spoiling all this for you, Mike? I just realized you hadn't seen the show. You already know everything, though, anyway, right?
And hey, look, that's the business we're in. I can't do this show, and I can't be on social media if I don't see something. It's tough. You got to deal with that, people. These aren't spoilers. It's already happened.
It's already happened. War Machine beat Michael Bennett and Matt Taven for the ROH tag titles. Obviously, Bennett and Maria are on their way to TNA, as we talked about. Matt Taven attempted a... They were doing a double spike pile driver spot off of the top rope, and Matt Taven landed funny and blew out his knee. We don't have an update yet. He's hoping it's all right, but we'll probably know more in the next couple of days after he gets an MRI and such. But 3-minute match. What can you say about it? But good old Ray Rowe, friendly Ray Rowe from the show on Monday, is now a world champion. So congratulations to him. I should mention that during the main event, they brought out Steve Corino had been there all show as Mr. Wrestling 3, and they brought out Jerry Lynn to do commentary for the main event. And Jerry Lynn had done a deal on TV where he essentially told Jay Lethal he was too cocky, and he picked AJ Styles in the match. And so at the end of the match, after AJ had been sent through a table and was half dead, Jay Lethal hit the cradle pile driver, which of course was the finisher of
Jerry Lynn,
and hit him with his own move and then pinned him after his lethal injection. So he rubbed it in the face of Jerry Lynn. I don't know if there's more to this story or if they just had Jerry Lynn and they wanted to turn it into a story leading to this, but that was a good finish.
Well, I'll say this too about that. He, you know, that's in Japan, that's a gotch style pile driver. That's a move used by Minoru Suzuki. And, you know, on tape, now you have Jay Lethal doing that and getting a win over AJ Styles, who's going to be challenging Nakamura. And again, I don't know how they're going to play this over there, but you could take that and spin it out that way, as well as it being a, you know, a move that I think was a reversal. Weren't they selling this as a reversal of the Styles Clash anyway?
Well, they'd been doing all sorts of reversals at that point, so I don't think that was a direct reversal out of the Styles Clash. I may be wrong, but one way or the other. Here's the bottom line. I love that I watch Ring of Honor television every week, and as a viewer of their television, when their big pay-per-view comes, I can go, man, it paid off to have paid attention all of these weeks to ROH television. They paid off all these storylines. Great. Talk about more of this after the break. Also, the return of Brock Lesnar. Lots of stuff coming up. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Couple of housekeeping notes here on the...
All right, you're up.
Couple of housekeeping notes here on the program, everybody. First off, if you are listening to this on tape delay or you just found us, we are live every day. We are Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, and we have a replay daily at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. We also air on Sundays live, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and there is a replay on Monday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. So make sure you check us out on Sports Byline USA. You can get the full calendar. There are, I believe, 21 airings of this show between live and replay over the course of the week, and you can find all of those times up at sportsbyline.com. That's sportsbyline.com. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. And I also was alerted during the break that tonight on the USA Network, it is in fact Santa's Little Helper, I believe is the name of the movie, with The Miz. Are you aware of that, Mike? Are you watching that with the youngin'?
No. Actually, I'm not going to watch that. Probably, well, I might peek in on this Miss Universe contest now, but no, there's still football to be played, so I'm going to probably indulge in that mostly tonight, that and watching the Ring of Honor show.
God, I've got all of these. I got a printer recently, even though I try to have no paper in my life, and I've been printing out notes. It's come in very handy because I just went through and I found this whole lineup for this coming week. Santa's Little Helper is, in fact, the name of it. It is an original comedy from WWE Studios, follows a fast-talking businessman who is given the opportunity of a lifetime to become Santa Claus's second-in-command. The Miz and Paige are featured in this film. Tomorrow
Paige
is
an elf, correct?
I hope so. Monday Night Raw is tomorrow with the Slammy Awards, 8 to 11. We've got
more costumes.
a live SmackDown on Tuesday, 8 to 10 Eastern, which is going to include a WWE Tag Team title match. Wednesday is WWE Tribute to the Troops, and there's also going to be USA Daytime. WWE takes over 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., December 21 to December 25, with special WWE-themed programming. So it is WWE Week on the USA Network, so check that out. Brock Lesnar returned to the ring last night in Los Angeles. The Forum, I believe, was the building. They had him fight for the U.S. title against Alberto Del Rio. It was a short match, it was described as. Lesnar threw him all over the place, as Brock Lesnar is wont to do. Alberto Del Rio kept going for the armbar. And finally, when Brock Lesnar was about to win, they sent in Rusev for the disqualification. And then Brock Lesnar ran wild and destroyed both of them with F5s all around. So that was the return to the ring of Lesnar. And we also, in the main event, had Roman Reigns, beating Sheamus to retain the WWE title. And there was a mixed reaction in L.A. to Roman Reigns. There were "Let's go, Roman. Roman sucks" chants in the vein of John Cena. So it's going to be very interesting at the Slammy Awards tomorrow to find out what kind of reaction Roman Reigns gets on that show.
We'll see. I bet you it's actually pretty good. What they need to resist doing, though, is focusing on him too much, you know, or obviously giving him the microphone for too long. Do not do that. No skits built around anything. Just if he's going to win something or if he's going to do something, Ken, it's got to be very short, very impactful, and just keeping him out of the way, especially if you test the waters early in that show and before the show, and you throw him up there on that Titantron and people are not responding well. Make sure that you have the ability to call an audible and shorten some things up for him and try to maximize him the best you can and get him the best response that you possibly can. Again, a lot of people may not like the fact that he's in this position. They may want Dean Ambrose. They may want somebody else, but I believe he is probably the best guy for the job. And if the very least, because of how you've had him positioned and because of what he's gone through, you got to see if he can sink or swim. You got to see if you can get a big baby face out of him. If you can't, can you get him to be a hated heel and get him to be a star that way? And if you can't, you got to cut bait, but you got to at least try. And he's going to have nights where he gets booed out of the building. He's going to have nights that he's going to be cheered wildly by everybody. But the consistency in how he's booked and how he's presented, that's what's going to make the biggest difference, no matter the response that he gets, because John Cena has set the bar as far as how you should handle a crowd and how you should be. And the only way you can do that is have a supreme amount of confidence in yourself. And the only way that can happen is if you have the confidence of the people that are around you and you have the confidence in what they're giving you and how they're presenting you out there is top notch.
Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
You're on the air. What's up?
Whoa, please
Brian,
turn me down.
Yeah, turn me down. Hello?
Hello, what's up?
Hey, Brian. Is this me, Brian?
Yes, it's you. And make sure
okay,
that
great.
I'm turned down.
I never had a chance to call your show before. I'm not listening to anything. I'm actually away from the computer, so I'm going to catch this at a later time. But I got a question for you. I actually got a dilemma for maybe you and Mike could probably help me out with. I'm trying to see how do I market a collectible that I have. Next month's the Royal Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just for advice and everything, because whatever you guys give me, whatever you've forgotten about this business, I can never remember. But back in 91, I was at the Royal Rumble in Miami. And if you remember the conclusion of that match, it was when Savage used the scepter on the Ultimate Warrior. For somehow, some way, that thing bounced over and under to where I was sitting. I was able to take that out of the arena. And I've kept it in my possession for some 25 years going this January.
You have the scepter that was broken over the Warrior's head.
Let me just say, this is the greatest collectible in the history of professional wrestling. Think about it now. It cost a title change. It is 25 years old. Hall of Famers are involved. I happened to work at that place at one time, vending, so I knew how to get out of that arena and get back in it first. Savage hit him so hard, he was supposed to pick that scepter up and run out, but for somehow, some reason, it bounced over and under to where I was, and even when I was holding it, I could see Howard Finkel walking by. I thought he was going to ask me for it, but I was able to get through. He didn't ask me. I went through the intermission. I got the hell out of there. I didn't care if I could get back into the building. Luckily enough, I was able to get back in there. But for 25 years, I have had that in my possession. And I will put my scepter up against just about any collectible that's out there. Now, whether yourself or me, do you have any advice, anything? I mean, because there's no place to either market it or figure out anything about this with the history. And why would there be?
Well, I mean, you could try to put it on eBay if you wanted to get rid of it. Yeah. I don't know why you'd want to get rid of it.
Well, and I don't know. Steiner Sports and Collectibles may be the place you go to first. I mean, one of the biggest issues I think that a lot of people have is the cost involved in authenticating a lot of things. I have a lot of stuff, and sometimes I think about selling it off. Like, I have it's kind of macabre now, but an oversized poster or an oversized magazine cover of Raw when the... when Saturn and Malenko and Benoit all jumped, and they have, you know, it's an oversized copy of that, and they have all signed it. And I have a bunch of other things too, but the problem is, because there's, you know, if you have things like that that are not, you know, signed off on by an agency and there's a picture of them signing things, that's where you run into a lot of problems with fraud and things like that. So you have to find people that just are big wrestling fans. And a lot of times eBay is the best way to go with that. You kind of put it out there for a price. If you don't get any bites, lower it back down, because you don't have to sell it. If you don't get what you think it's worth or you don't get any interest in it, you could always pull it back down and keep it. So I have a feeling that, you know, while it's not very sexy or anything like that, that's probably the best way to go, because I would love to know, and I would love to have them on the show and talk to somebody who is a dealer or an authenticator of wrestling merchandise and stuff from over the years, because, you know, there's Jim Cornette, maybe a person who could put value on things like that. But I would actually love to know, because there's a lot of people out there with tons of collectibles, whether they be, you know, full sets of old LJN wrestling dolls or autographs or plenty of other wacky things, you know, like having the scepter. And I would love to know what some of the stuff like that is worth.
I have a potential other idea, and that is, don't do anything with it and wait, because there have been a lot of rumors about WWE wanting to open up a physical Hall of Fame. And I know that there are individuals who have sold memorabilia to WWE. And so it's possible that maybe you could see if they would offer anything for that, since it is obviously a part of their history. And as you noted, many Hall of Famers were involved in that angle, and so maybe they would offer something decent for it. That or Mike's idea.
Hey, it depends on, again, do you want to keep it? Do you just want to find out what the value is? You know, do you want to sell it? And again, I'd love to know, with, because there's like, WWE puts out like hobby card boxes, and I got them for Avery 1 year. I got nostalgic, because when we were younger, you know, cards actually meant something. Then it was kind of in that generation where people, they became a commodity to be bought and sold. But WWE has like hobby card boxes with, you know, and people that do comic books and really are into cards will understand this more when it comes to like linear sets and platinum cards and special editions. And there's all this sort of stuff in there, you know, not just autographs and things like that. So there's an obvious market for it. I just don't know how to tap into any of it and how to find out value on what a lot of some, you know, of this stuff is. Belts are easy, you know, Reggie Parks, and there already seems to be a market for that when it comes to like WWE finding like Bruno's original belt and things like that. I mean, there seems to be a value for that, but some of the other stuff like the props and the gimmicks, I'm not sure.
Man. Josh Nason up on the Twitter says that he wanted to know who's going to be watching Santa's Little Helper on USA Network. And I told him no. I was just being honest. But then everyone else started saying no, too. I don't know if anyone's going to watch this movie.
Oh, my God. Mick Foley, I'm sorry. But Mick Foley just retweeted somebody on Twitter who has got a picture of Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants, who got a lot of notoriety this past summer when on the 4th of July, he blew off pieces of his hand and has finally returned to play in the NFL with basically this big, massive cast that's got like a big, you know, and it's taped up with a cover, or has got a cover on it that makes it look like a giant sock puppet on his hand. And Mick Foley has retweeted somebody who said, Mick Foley and Socko play for the Giants. Very mean. Come on, Mick. That's just mean.
Man, I bet Mick is going to be watching Santa's Little Helper every night this week. He is a big fan of Paige.
He's a big fan of Santa.
As well as Santa, that's right. That is right.
You got a Santa Paige thing going on. You're really doing all right.
What does this person have to say here? Oh, he's essentially asking about the dog running into the ring during the Lucha match we talked about a couple of days ago. I had been told the wrestlers were selling for the dog, which made it seem a little more exciting than it was. There was one wrestler who recoiled in fear. There was another wrestler who squared off with the dog, but the dog didn't actually attack anyone, nor did anyone take any bumps for the dog. So that was disappointing. But I did put up the link, I believe, in the, maybe in the Saturday Daily Update? I think it was a Saturday Daily Update up at WrestlingObserver.com. So, yeah, make sure you head up there and check that out. WrestlingObserver.com, there's all sorts of interesting things up there. If you're not a subscriber, now is the time. Full download access to every show we've ever done. 7,000-plus shows dating back to 2005. We have immediate replays of Observer Live commercial-free for subscribers. And we got more shows coming up tonight, After Dark Radio, only for subscribers, unless you listen live on the Dark Matter Digital Network and the Brian and Vinny Show. Check them out. We'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Tomorrow on the show, which of course will air at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern here on Sports Byline USA, Mike and I will run down the categories for the Slammy Awards. We have the Match of the Year, the Diva of the Year, Breakout Star of the Year, Extreme Moment of the Year, This Is Awesome Moment of the Year. And I made the whole show without really flipping my lid. And it's only 2 minutes, so I don't have time, but maybe tomorrow. They got this list for the Breakout Star of the Year. And the nominees are Kevin Owens, Neville, Charlotte, Braun Strowman, and Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze, everybody. I love Tyler Breeze. I think he's awesome. Tyler Breeze has had 11 wins in his WWE career and 69 losses. And of the 11 wins, 4 of them have been on television. He's had 4 wins on television since coming up, and they throw him in here as a potential breakout star of the year. I don't know. Anyway, on a happy note, tonight, Brian and Vinny's show, we're going to be reviewing the NWA WCW from 30 years ago this week. So whatever day
I watched that.
You did? Was it good?
I watched all of them. I don't know. I watched them when I was back then. I'll have to watch it along with you tonight.
I heard there were a lot of awesomely normal-looking jobbers, which is the best.
Like Tony Zanes of the world. Yeah. I hope they're all on there.
We're going to be reviewing that and a lot of other stuff as well. Going to be a fun time only for subscribers. After Dark Radio, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. All the information on how to listen to that free is going to be up on my Twitter. Got a big announcement, I believe, on the Brian and Vinny Show tonight that you will really enjoy as well. So get ready for that. And we'll be back tomorrow, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Want to thank you all for listening. Everybody at Sports Byline, Mike as always, all the callers. Talk to you again next time. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.